How many brought your Bibles? Let me see all the Bibles. Just raise it up. Let me see. Because this is where I can just see where I need to preach. It's pretty even. So I want you to turn in your Bible to Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 32. Now, in order to find Isaiah, go to the middle of your Bible to Psalms and hang a right. And when you hang a right, you'll go to Proverbs. You'll see it. Just keep going. And then you'll see Ecclesiastes. And then, bam, you'll hit Isaiah. If not, then go to the table of contents and find out where Isaiah. And when you find it, go to chapter 32. Chapter 32. Say amen if you're there. I want you guys to see as I this message and understand some things that I believe God has for us. I probably have more time doing music myself than normally with the band, and I'm really excited that it's only 11:20 because usually it's already 11:45 before I preach. And I got to figure out how to deliver a message quickly, you know. And so I've got a little time, and it's probably designed that way so that we can get a hold of something this morning. Now don't start reading chapter 32. I know that's how y'all do. And you'll try to get ahead of me, but don't do it. I'm sure to set this message up, I'm sure that some of you, or you know someone that's dealt with backsliding. And backsliding is when you have a fire for God one minute, and then you've walked away because of whatever. And the whatevers, man, can change. I mean, they're big in some people's lives. A lot of times it's relationships that went sour. A lot of times it's a doctor telling a believer that they have some type of something wrong with their body, or someone that they know, a family member, a loved one. They get mad at God and then they backslide. A lot of times it's people that's been burnt in churches that for whatever reason or a preacher hurts them, he wasn't perfect, and that then gives them an opportunity to what the Word calls backslide. And we've seen it. We've seen it. I mean, I've seen people. I remember when a major revival was happening in Lubbock, Texas, over 25 years ago. I mean, when we started the church at the Barn Church in Lubbock, it started as an outreach at a sale barn on the south side of Lubbock. It wasn't very far from the main road. What is that, 87 going? You know, whatever that road is, 27, is it an interstate? And you know, that's the main road that, yes, goes to Amarillo, you know, and drops all the way down to Big Spring, really. And, man, a revival. Wow. I believe in the first year to 2 years, we estimated over 1,700 cowboy-type people, Western people, even city folks, gave their hearts to the Lord Jesus. And I'll never forget, there's this one guy that was so fired up. And by the way, I've told y'all, if you've been here long enough, probably the story of the FBI coming to me. And they said, hey, we got to tell you something. I said, what? They said, hey, we've been watching you and the ministers and this church because we thought it was a cult because of so many bad drug type people selling it or whatever was giving their lives to Jesus and changing. Amen. Well, one of them was a guy, and he was a very talented roper, very talented. And I'm telling you, when he gave his heart to Jesus, he sold out totally. And I didn't know his backstory, but he started traveling with me. And he had given his life to Jesus, and I mean was so fired up that a lot of people were coming to try to figure out what happened to that boy. Why is he totally changed? Well, one day he came to me after about 2 or 3 months of his salvation, and he wanted to start leading the Bible study. And I knew better, and I didn't let him. I just said, hey, you know what? Right now, it's probably best for you that you don't get moved into leading a Bible study until God opens the door, you see. Because I understand ministry, and I minister to a lot of ministers, and it's real easy to just jump into the lion's den and start leading a Bible study when you just barely gave your heart to Jesus. But his excitement for the Lord Jesus was outrageous, and I loved it. But I had to calm him down. No. It's not time for you to start leading the Bible study when, you know, it's kind of like being a roper and, you know, trying to go to the BFI, which is in Oklahoma. It's the largest team roping of professionals. And I think the guys that won it this year won about $180,000 in the BFI. But it's an expensive roping, and it's the best in the world. And it would be like a young kid that just started roping trying to enter the BFI with the pros. I mean, it would discourage them. I mean, it would not be very smart to jump all the stages of roping to try to be a professional when you just started. And so that's what I began to minister to the boy. And I mean, he got mad. When you try to teach somebody and they get mad, you know they're not ready. They're not spiritually mature, or they'd have never got upset in the first place when you're saying, hold on. But his heart was just so for God that he couldn't believe that I was saying, no, I don't want you to start leading the Bible study at this big group. And it was a matter of time when he went from serving God with all of his heart to backslidding like we'd never seen. I mean, mad at me, cussing me. He went from holding his tongue and learning how to talk without cussing to a man, new words coming out of his mouth of cuss words. Backslidden. You see, there's something about in the last days when the Bible says that people will walk away from the faith. And so this morning, I want to help us all understand that when there are people backslidden, and it might be some of y'all that used to be there, and you were raised in church, you were serving God, and then because of something that happened in your life, all of y'all probably know my testimony if you've been here long enough. Raised in the ministry, singing for the Lord since I was 13 years old, and get to college, and over one hurt in my life, 2 years, 2 solid years, walked away from the Lord. The party was at my house, I always say it. And it was 605 Runnels in Big Spring, Texas. That's where everybody would come. Different crowds on each night, as y'all know. But I knew better. I was just backslidden. I didn't have anything to do with my salvation. I had the helmet of salvation on, but I really wasn't operating with the full armor of God. I mean, the enemy's attacks were rapid. The fiery darts were coming from both sides. The people that knew me before when I was leading Bible study in the dorm room, and then when the tragedy in my life, the hurt happened, they then saw 2 years of reckless living. Backslidden. That's all it was. And I mean, they hammered me on both sides. And matter of fact, 7 years later, and it only lasted 2 years of walking away from the God, and then one day saying, God, forgive me. Forgive me, sir. And then coming back home that, 7 years later, a boy came up to me and said, man, I got to apologize to you. I've held a grudge against you for 7 years because I was with you when you was partying for those 2 years. And then all of a sudden, you're doing church services all over the place. You see, there's something about backsliding, but we need to figure out how to get those people back without guilt or condemnation. Come on. Come on, y'all. Because there's a lot of people that kind of move away from the Lord. And our job, even though it's the last days and people will fall away from the faith, prophetically said and word-wise, we've got to know that we don't want someone to die and go to hell. We don't want people to stay in a backslidden way and then not inherit the kingdom of God. Listen to me. I've taught this over and over and over for 20 years of this church. Is the kingdom of God and God's righteousness is not necessarily talking just about heaven. It's talking about a method. When the Bible says if you commit like fornication and adultery and different things that you won't inherit the kingdom of God, a lot of people think immediately, I'm not going to be able to go to heaven. And there is actually a denomination that believes that way, that if you sin without forgiveness, you won't go to heaven. And I'm like, wow, why did Jesus die then? Because we would have to be worried about any kind of sin. What if you got in a car wreck and you got into fear? And fear is sin, y'all. And then you died and you didn't have time to ask for forgiveness. Or what about the thief on the cross beside Jesus? He didn't have time to get baptized even. You see, the thing is that we have to understand is that when you talk about the kingdom of God, the kingdom of God is also, it can be heaven, but it's also a method on how we're supposed to live here like there. Remember, Jesus taught us the prayer, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done where? As it is. On earth like heaven. So, it doesn't have anything to do with your salvation. And I'm not going to tell you that I'm a preacher that don't think you can lose your salvation. I just never seen it done. In order to lose your salvation, you would have to do everything like receiving Jesus. Because when you receive Jesus as Lord, you denied Satan and all of his works and received the Savior. Well, you would have to literally do that to lose your salvation, which would deny Jesus, the deity, which is the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost. You would have to deny Jesus and all his works and start serving the enemy, the devil. And I just don't know anybody that's done that. Maybe you have. But when I had the helmet of salvation on at 10 years old, man, I was born again. I just backslid for 2 years, though, in college and turned from God. But he didn't have anything to do with my salvation. But I maybe not inherit the kingdom of God here on earth, which is what? Peace. Because I didn't have it. I was trying to find it in other ways. I didn't inherit joy. I was trying to inherit joy and happiness and peace in different ways, not of God. And we all know that those ways of alcohol or drugs or I didn't do drugs. I don't even know what marijuana smells like, y'all. Everybody laughs at me because they go, that smells like marijuana. And I'm like, what does that smell like? I've never even been around it to know. And a lot of people have. But that drug of alcohol was a big part of my life for 2 years, and that's why I'm so against it now. I saw the destruction. I saw what it does to families and people's lives. And it's terrible. So I don't mess with it. I don't judge anybody that does. Never said it's wrong to have a beer or whatever. That's up to you. But if you're in leadership of the church, then we can't have that because you're representing Pastor Corey and Jamie and this church. And so that's the only reason I'm kind of hard on it, because it's, anyway, if you can handle it, praise God. I'm okay with that. I do not care. I see the people with alcohol at the meals. It doesn't bother me one bit. I don't care. I doesn't. But for me, it would be a major sin, because it would ruin my ministry. Okay, so for 2 years, I was backslidden. And again, I needed some grace. I needed some mercy. I needed someone to build me up. And that's what we need today. Trying to get people back that once served God, and because of whatever hurts, they're backslidden. So really fast, let's get some hope that if you are even at this church or watching and have been in a backslidden state, you've been just away from God, you've been doing some things that you know better, then here's the good news. It's time to come on home. Come on, say amen, y'all. Amen. Time to come on home. Now, I'm not saying making a mistake here and there. I mean, we all do that. I'm not talking about, when you're backslidden, you're literally away from God. Matter of fact, you might start saying things like, I don't want to have anything to do with that stuff anymore. You should have seen what that church did to me. And Cowboy Church has really ministered to a lot of people that's been burnt in churches. And they'll get here and they'll get redeemed. They'll finally figure out that, hey, we don't hold anything against you. So that's setting up the message really fast of being in a backslidden state. And what does the Word of God say about that? Okay, I was wrong. Y'all were in Jeremiah. Where did I tell y'all to go? Okay, well then just go back to the right a little bit further to Jeremiah. Because I was wondering where that came from. And that was the offering message, wasn't it? Isaiah. All right, Jeremiah chapter 4. Now, I actually want to back up into chapter 3. And let's look, are y'all at Jeremiah? Verse 22. Look what the word says, return. Everybody look at me. Let's say that together. Return. Say it on three. One, two, three. Return. God is saying something right here, and look what he says. Return, you backslidden children. Return. You notice he didn't say, return, you sorry son of a gun. Return, you sorry sinner. Return. No, he's just saying, hey, if you're backslidden, return. And then he says this, and I will heal your backsliding. Again, I can do example after example after example over the years of people backsliding, serving God 1 minute, and then because of a hurt, they turned away from God. I've always told anybody that would ever listen, especially college kids that I minister to a lot, to when you do something wrong, sin-wise, don't run from God, run to Him. He's the hope. He's the only one that really doesn't hold your sin against you. No, he sent Jesus. So here, look what he's saying. He's saying, return, you backsliding children. Now, underline the word children, because he's talking to believers. He's talking to us children. We're sons and daughters of God. Would you say amen? And then he says, and I will heal your backsliding. Your backslidings. Indeed, we do come to you, for you are the Lord our God. Truly in vain is salvation hoped from the hills and from the multitude mountains. Truly in the Lord our God is the salvation of Israel. For shame has devoured. Here's something that I want to just really major on just really fast. Is usually when people are backslidden and they've kind of walked away from the Lord, a lot of times it's our children that, not Seth, not Hayes, right, guys? Yes, say, do this. Okay, good. And then it grieves us because we raised them up and then they're not doing things correctly, right? And it hurt. Well, guess what it causes on people that are backsliding? To live in shame. That's the first thing we need to get a hold of, because it says in verse 24 again, for shame has devoured the labor of our fathers from our youth, their flocks and their herds, their sons and their daughters. We lie down in our shame, and our reproach covers us, for we have sinned against the Lord our God, we and our fathers, from our youth even to this day, and have not obeyed the voice of the Lord our God. The worst thing that someone can do is get into shame, because it will devour you. It tried to do that to me for those 2 years of walking away from God. But the greatest news, because I'd been trained up in the ways of the Lord, is when I said, God, forgive me. And I'll never forget, I was on my bed, I was on the back, and it was late one night. And I felt the presence of the Lord, because I knew I was called to the ministry when I was 13. But here I'm 21 or 2, and I'm laying, almost 20 at least, almost 21. And I'm laying on my bed, on my back, and I knew I'd just done a bunch of stuff, probably with alcohol or whatever it was, had a party, saw all the destruction, almost tore up my house. And I'll never forget laying there and saying, God, I know better. I know better, sir. Please forgive me. And I'm telling you, I've only told this a few times ever in all these years. How many years is that? 24, 34, 44, 50? 30 years. Almost 31 come May the 20th. When I'm 55, young. Say amen. Amen. Don't call me old. I mean, the power in your tongue's over life and death. So, my youth is renewed like the eagles. I don't feel 54 even in almost 55. I just don't. I feel good, man. I tied a steer yesterday. I roped this steer. And I turned off and I laid that steer down. I jumped off just like a 20-year-old. I strung that foot. And then when I bent down, I felt a muscle. I got to get back on that rowing machine. Man, anyway, where was I? Oh, I was laying in bed. And I'll never forget that when I said, Father, forgive me, listen to me. When you have Jesus as Lord, it's impossible to be possessed by the devil. It's impossible. There's no room. But you can be oppressed and be kind of where he kind of tries to control you. And he had. I mean, I was led in that direction for 2 years. And so when I said, it was late one night, and I said, God, forgive me. Forgive me. I know better. I'm telling you, I've never felt the strength of my body just leave. And I'll never forget, it was almost like I was underwater, and that was all in my ears. And I couldn't say anything. And it was almost as if the devil, he didn't want to lose me. I wasn't serving him. I wasn't worshiping the devil. I was just out of the will of God. I was backslidden. And he didn't want to lose that, obviously. And I mean, I could hear that, but I knew enough of the Word of God that when that was happening, I could not move, y'all. It was like I was paralyzed, and it wasn't a dream. I was awake, and I had said, God, forgive me. I know better. And then, man, that attack was all over me. And it was, again, like I was underwater, and I couldn't speak. I couldn't, but I knew to say the name of Jesus. And so I tried, Jesus, Jesus. And I finally got it out just like that, Jesus. And when I said Jesus, that thing released me. And there was such a peace that came over me. I was in a backslidden state 1 minute, and I was redeemed the next. Because when I said, God, forgive me, the Bible says he don't even remember my sin any longer as far as the east is to the west. That's why we've got to come back. We don't need to stay backslidden. We don't need to stay away from the Lord. And you may know someone just like that, that we've got to not allow to get in shame. Because if they get in shame, it's destruction. As the Word says here, that shame, that reproach, it covers us. No, we need to get set free. Because when I said, God, forgive me, yes, maybe my friends didn't forgive me. Or they probably remembered it a long time, like that example I gave of 7 years. But God is so faithful and just that he forgave me. And I just came right back. That's what God's saying here, y'all. Return, you children of backsliding. Return. Come on back. So we've got to start causing people to get back. Not with shame, because I'm here to tell you, once they come back and they truly understand that God covers the multitude of sin with his blood, with the blood of Jesus, that gives peace, that gives hope, and then they don't have to keep running. Real fast. Let's look at chapter 4 now, verse 1. If you will return... It's talking about backslidden children, and it says, O Israel, says the Lord, return to me, and if you will put away your abominations out of my sight, abominations is just sin, if you'll truly repent and put them out of my sight, then you shall not be moved, and you shall swear the Lord lives in truth, in judgment, and in righteousness. You know what God's saying right here? He's trying to say that our confession needs to be repentance. God, I apologize. I did it. You know I did it. Forgive me, sir. And look what happens. The blessing of God awaits us if repentance is genuine. So listen, y'all. God doesn't hold sin against any of us. Just stop doing it. True repentance is turning away from it and stop doing it. When you get the knowledge of who you are in Christ, that you are a son and a daughter of the Most High God, that you are an heir of God, a joint heir with Jesus, you have rights. Everything Jesus promises are for you as a believer, for me as a believer. And if we understand who we are in Christ and we don't let sin try to drag us down into the Murray pits of crap. I said that. I don't know why that came out, but it means right. You understand what I'm saying? The sin tries to get us into the ruts and stay in the ruts. When God's saying, hey, my righteousness is sufficient. I love you no matter what, son. Daughter, you are worthy. Praise God. You are someone in Christ Jesus, not without Christ. Jesus is our everything. Don't try to worship Corey Ross or a church or a priest or a pope. No, you worship Jesus, the one that died for you. And I'm telling you, if you understand who you are in Christ Jesus, you won't have shame. No, you'll just have a confidence of knowing that, yes, I messed up. I did wrong. I'm going to turn away from that. And I have dominion over sin. Come on, y'all. Come on, we've got to start getting excited. that shame does not, it don't move us not another day in our life. That's why we hold our heads up, our shoulders back, and we continue to move towards the will of God. I don't want you to be in the submissive will of God. I want you to be, I shouldn't say I, but God wants you to be in the perfect will of God. And when you're in the perfect will of God, woo, Jesus, nothing offends you. I mean, the love of God just is all over you. You don't get angry. You don't get mad. You don't get resentful. You don't sin. If you do sin, you know that the blood covers you. You quit doing it. Take dominion over that sin. Like Romans chapter 5 says, verse 1, you're justified by faith. That word justified means you're acquitted. You're declared righteous, and you're given a right standing with God. Come on, man. That ought to make us excited about our God. God's not holding all the junk that you've gone through against you. We all have testimonies, right? I can go through this crowd. And I bet some of you were wilder than me. I see people going, yeah. But you know what? The enemy wants to bring shame to you, and God wants you to bring redemption. And it may not be you we're talking about, but it might be someone you know that just say, hey, I just want you to know God loves you. God loves you. I'll close on this. Look. I'll close with this. The rest of verse 2 says, the nation shall bless themselves in him, and in him they shall glory. Talking about Jesus. For thus says the Lord of the men of Judah and Jerusalem. And it gives this, and y'all have got to really study this out. Break up your fallow ground. You know what that means? Is when there's sin and people are backslidden, it causes hearts to get hardened. Have you ever gone through a relationship where you got hurt? What does it do? What's the enemy try to do? Make your heart hard. You don't want to give someone else an opportunity to break the heart. So you'll put a wall up. When God's really saying, I've always tried to counsel marriages that broke up and divorce, or relationships that they just broke up and it was hurtful, to always then have a breakable heart. Because if that heart is hardened, then the one that God really has for you will just pass right by because your heart's hard. And here God's saying, look, when you're backslidden, you got to break up your fallow ground. And do not sow among thorns. You know what that means? You might want to start hanging out with some different people. If you got someone that's just constantly stabbing you in the back or doing you wrong or being hateful or hurtful, why don't we just kind of leave that atmosphere and get to someone that builds you up? If you're trying to get away from that addiction of drugs or alcohol, it's best not to hang out with those people anymore. That's what this is saying, y'all. Hey, break up your fallow ground. Get your old heart softened back up so that I can actually do something. Don't live by that hurt any longer. Don't live by that backsliding state of 2 years in college, Corey Ross. I've got greater things for you. You don't need to be living by that guilt and condemnation anymore. Even if someone remembers what you did back then. Oh gosh, I got some stories. I could tell some stories, buddy. And I've never said that sin wasn't fun, because it is. The problem with sin, though, is the wages of it is death, spiritually and possibly physically. That's why people die before their time. That's part of the inherit the kingdom of God. Didn't mean heaven. You just won't inherit God's ways of doing things here on earth like heaven. I mean, you'll die before you were supposed to. I mean, you'll leave this earth. And God didn't intend for you to leave the earth at 20. But sometimes we get away from the... That's why Ephesians says, you know, Don't give way to the devil. Gosh, man, we've got to get a hold of who we are in Christ, y'all. Break up that hard ground. If you got some hardness in your heart about somebody, break it up, because it's going to stop the blessing. And that's what God is saying right here. But don't sow among the thorns. Get away from that. Lest my fury, at the end of verse 4, lest my fury comes forth like fire. Look, listen, that goes two different directions, y'all. That goes just two different ways. God wants you to have a fire for Him, but I'm here to tell you, God cannot protect you if His hands are tied and you don't give Him access. When I was in that sin, and it's 11:55, y'all look at the clock back there. I've got 5 minutes. When I was in that sin 2 years, and I hadn't really submitted to the call, I was singing for the Lord with my family, musically, traveling the country, a musical evangelist or whatever, and telling people about Jesus. My dad was a pastor, mom sang, and my brother sang, and I mean, we were in the ministry, but those 2 years of being really away from the Lord, it did kind of want to try to cause just a little bit of hardness, just a little bit, but I knew better. I knew I had enough of the Word of God. When that disease called Crohn's tried to attack my body, took out 16 inches of intestines at the very same time that I was walked away from the Lord. You see, when you open the doors to the enemy, there's no guilt and condemnation to God, but man, that enemy then says, yeah, let's stop him. Stop him from having peace. Stop him from having joy. Let's harden his heart. And when that happens, you can stay in that state for a long period of time. And people do it. That's why they've been backslidden. For one guy I can't remember how long ago that this man and his wife came. And he came to us and he said, I haven't attended church in 40 years. And I came back to this one. 40 years. I mean, there's probably people in this church that finally found this church and you was raised in church but hadn't been back to church in years and years until. You see what happens when people are backslidden? The old hardness of the heart? Well, you don't want to stay there. So inheriting the kingdom, that's why you don't inherit true joy. You'll try to find it in a bottle. No, God wants you to break up that hard ground. So today, I say in Jesus' name, if you know somebody or you're in that state right now, then we're going to pray for God to break up the fallow ground, the hardness of ground. And you may be thinking of someone, or it's you, and nobody has to know. It is not. But here's what I want to do. Every person that is going through that battle of living a little bit in the world, then trying to turn back to God, but then the fiery darts are happening, because that's what was happening to me. In that time, Crohn's disease the enemy tried to put that on me, and that's what the doctor said. Took out the intestine, quite a bit of the intestine, 16 inches. There's not 16 inches in here anymore. Well, I take that back. I bet God grew it back. Because they told me I'd have to take medicine for the rest of my life. Forever and ever, I'd have to change my lifestyle. Y'all, when I told that doctor, I don't receive that. And then he said it again, you got Crohn's. It's a disease that's not curable, but we can manage it. I said, no thank you. Wheeled me to my room, remember? Mom and Dad were there. You got a disease called Crohn's. It's not curable. It's manageable. You have to take medicine for the rest of your life. And I go, We didn't. I never once said I have Crohn's. Ever. I've never said it to this day. Yeah, I have Crohn's. I have Crohn's. No. I don't have Crohn's. You know why? Because Jesus, by His stripes, I was healed. Amen. And all these years, 20 plus years, I've never taken one pill. Why? The enemy was throwing the fiery darts because I gave him an opening. And he tried to stop me from what the call was. But because my heart didn't stay hard, that old fallow ground, I just tilled it up, said, Father, thank you for forgiveness. So if you know somebody, or you're right in the middle of just that battle of anger, that battle of resentment, that battle of hurt, whatever it is that might be going on in your life, break that ground up now. And the way to do that, if you know somebody or that's you, no one will know. If it's for somebody that you're believing God for or if it's you, stand up right now and let's by faith get rid of that hardness of ground. Stand up. If you know somebody or you're going through that hardness right now, then just stand up and let's believe God right now to get that fallow ground broke up so that you can restart receiving the Word of God the way God has intended it to be. Amen? So all of y'all, man, right now, if it's you, God knows it. If it's someone else, God knows it. He knows the thoughts that you're thinking right now. So whatever it is, y'all that are standing, put your hand over your heart. Now, all of you know the reason your hand is over your heart is because you've got to get the Word of God from up here, that true manifestation of the Word of God from up here in the head to the heart. Because that's where change comes, is when, man, it's in the heart and so be it. That's a word. Amen. That's what amen is. So be it. So let's get whatever you're believing God, get that ground broke up right now. Break up the hurts, all the things that are trying to keep you from the promised land. Break it up now in Jesus' name. The rest of y'all seated, y'all just stretch your hands towards somebody that's standing right now. Father, in Jesus' name, the name that's above every name, sir, every person that is standing with their hand over their heart, or if they're watching and they have their hand over their heart praying for themselves or someone that they know that has just got hardness of the heart. Their ground is so hard that we've got to break it up right now. I call it done. I call the ground broke up. That means that hurt, be gone. Anger, be gone. Resentment, be gone. Sin, be gone. In Jesus' name. Now, Father, every single person that's standing by faith, I thank you, Lord, that they're set free. They're delivered. And Father, sin, backsliding, hurt in any kind will not prevail. Not another day in their lives. They have freedom right now. They have redemption. They've been redeemed. And Father, thank you for joy flooding them right now. Peace that passes understanding. Even if they don't understand what they're going through, cause peace to come that surpasses the understanding. And we thank you for true healing now. In Jesus' name. Every person, look at me with your hand. I want you to, with faith. If it's for someone or it's for yourself, I want you to now say, I receive that. No. Say it with some boldness. I receive that. Say it with some, I mean, put a smile in your atmosphere. There you go. Not bad. And say, I receive that. I'm not going to live this way anymore. I receive that. Say it. I receive that. I'm not living that way anymore. Hardness of heart, be gone. Break up that old fallow ground. In Jesus' name. Amen? All right, now give God praise. That's really important. Come on. Clap your hands. Say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. If you're believing God for somebody, then, man, you keep praying. Intercede for them. Break up that old hard ground. And man, I'm telling you, watch what God does. Now, the blessing is right there. So you got to go out and get the blessing. Amen. Thank God for Jesus. Did y'all have a good time this morning? I didn't know where this message was going, to be real honest, because God gave it to me in a pickup truck driving. I was like, oh, Jesus, I need some help. How's this going to go? But thank God for Jesus. Amen. All right, bow your head and close your eyes. And everybody in here, say this prayer. Say, Father in heaven, I open the door of my heart. I confess that Jesus Christ is my Lord. Jesus, come into my heart. Save me. Forgive me of every sin. I thank you, Jesus, for being my Lord, my Savior, my friend. In Jesus' name I pray. With no one looking around, just real fast. The reason I had everybody pray it is, if you're born again, you got to have confidence in it, but you might have been praying that prayer with someone beside you, around you, in front of you. You might be watching, and you prayed that prayer for the very first time. Believers need to learn the prayer so that you can lead people to Jesus that wouldn't come to even a comfortable cowboy church like this one, or any church down on every corner. If you learn the spirit of the prayer, though, you can lead people to Jesus wherever you are. And that's got to be our heart, y'all. But if you just prayed that prayer for the very first time, I don't care how long you might be coming to this church, but if you prayed it for the first time, I believe you were born again, and angels in heaven are rejoicing. But all I want you to do, if you had never given your heart to the Lord and you did it today, I want you, when I say three, one, two, three, I want you to raise your hand and say, God, I confess that prayer. I made Jesus, your Son, the Lord of my life this morning. I'd never done that, but I did it. I meant that prayer, and here's my hand. And then just put your hand back down. You don't have to get up here, come to the altar. You can do it right where you're sitting or standing or watching, however you're watching. If you just gave your heart to Jesus, never be ashamed, because Jesus was not ashamed to die for you. On top of the hill, remember, where everybody could see it, called Golgotha. If you just gave your heart to Jesus, get that hand up at the count of three, and then just put it right back down. You know what it means. One, with boldness. Two, three, go. Thank you. Thank you, brother. Appreciate that. Thank you, my friend. Praise God. I'm going to just give you all a Bible. God, just take that Bible. No one's looking around. Praise God. All right, look at me. Who would have thought it? Again, people gave their hearts to Jesus. Oh, thank you, Lord.